Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
You may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever looked through a bag of grass clippings looking for a four-leaf clover, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Pro football full circle.
Is there any possibility that you guys will acquire a starting caliber quarterback within the next 26 hours before the trade deadline tomorrow?
Barry, I understand the question. I basically answer it every day the same way. Who's our quarterback? Any conversations that I have with Chris, I have with Steve, we keep them internal, and it'll remain that way.
All right, week number 9 is here. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel kicking it around, getting you prepared for this coming weekend. Big ball game in Indianapolis tonight between the Colts and the Jets. Indianapolis 10.5 point favorites right here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total set at 45.5. But you heard in the intro, you heard about the Miami Dolphins potentially moving on from Tua. They tried to dismantle talks about maybe getting Deshaun Watson. I just read, Scott, where Deshaun Watson, the big reason why Watson wasn't moved before the trade deadline was in terms of these 22 cases that are outstanding, non-disclosure agreements were not agreed upon between the plaintiffs and Deshaun Watson's team, and that's why they did not really get a deal done. Otherwise, maybe Deshaun Watson would be on another team after the before the trade deadline instead of Houston.
Yeah, that, and oh, by the way, he could be a sexual predator and be landing in jail for a couple of years. Aside from that, no deal was done. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I don't know why, Joe. The Florida Panthers down the street have to fire their head coach for something that he didn't do or did do or looked the other way in a situation with the Chicago Blackhawks years ago. But, they do the right thing, public relations-wise, and say, listen, you can't be our head coach. And yet the Miami Dolphins, down the street are bringing in a guy who's got nothing but issues. When it pertains to off-the-field stuff. It is kind of weird to me why one is accepted and one is not accepted. But, reading the stories about yesterday at the trade deadline from Tuesday, the Dolphins weren't allowed to really speak to Watson this whole time until really Tuesday. And you want to get a feel for what's going on and everything else, and that clearly wasn't enough time for Miami to kind of close the deal when they're asking for so much that they're asking for. And apparently the Texans didn't want to give up any draft choices if he does land in jail. So I don't think any team in the world, Joe, is going to give up, 2-3 multiple draft choices, high players maybe, and not have some kind of recourse if, in fact, Watson ends up in jail. Like, he might. Who knows? So I don't know. I don't know what Houston really thinks they're going to get out of this, but I don't think being in the offseason is going to change matters unless the thing really does get resolved. But it doesn't appear that way when you look at the court cases and the schedule that they're looking at right now.
Yeah, very quiet day in terms of news outside Deshaun Watson. We know about the Henry Ruggs situation. Yeah, I was going to bring that up just now in terms of Odell Beckham was excused from practice second day in a row. Right now, you look at Cleveland right now as 2.5-point dogs on the road against the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow, 2.5-point favorites, -106 on FanDuel, total set at 47. And this sort of is similar in terms of OBJ, what we saw with Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas had a setback yesterday, right? He's gone for the season. Seems like the same type of situation with Odell in the sense of it doesn't look like he's going to be with this team in the second half of the year if you're asking me if I had a bet on it right now.
You know, and I don't doubt that, Joe, but that's really, I blame the Browns. I really do. Listen, players are players. They're mopes. You know, the father sending out the video. Who cares? So what? He was right. If you watch the video, the guy is wide open. I mean, it's the problem is Baker Mayfield sucks, and then the Browns want to make this a Baker Mayfield team, and they really shouldn't. And you know, listen, so they've sent the video out? No. But if that's going to get you kicked off a team, oh, by the way, a day after the trade deadline, I mean, if the Browns felt this bad, if they hated Odell that much, why didn't they just move him? And if you say, well, it's hard to move a guy that's making $15 million a year. Yeah, but you know what? The Denver Broncos did everything in the world in their power to move Von Miller. They're eating his contract. That deal was only done because they're paying $8 million of the $8.5 million that he's owed. So if the Browns really want to get rid of this guy, like they apparently do, then why not tell a team, you can have him. We'll pay a salary this year. It's in our budget. And, you know, throw us a couple of draft choices, and then you really move on. The Browns doing this the day now, 2 days after the trade deadline, that's just the Cleveland Browns being the Browns. I mean, that's as stupid can be in my eyes. I mean, you either keep them on your team and play them and deal with this stuff, or you trade them, but you trade them before the trade deadline. Now all they can do is just cut them. And well, what purpose does that serve?
And he has 1 foot out the door already, right? We saw this with the New York Giants. I mean, when he was playing with Eli, in terms of at the end of that relationship, we knew he didn't want to be in New York. You could sense he doesn't want to be in Cleveland. But I guess the bigger question is, does he have anything left? I mean, can he go back to where he was when he came out of LSU? And obviously a dynamic playmaker in terms of his first year and a half with the New York Giants. Can he regain some of that form, assuming that the injuries are behind him? Can he be a main contributor? Because when you look at this offense in Cleveland right now, predicated on the run, they have a number one in Jarvis Landry that has taken over that role from Odell. I mean, can he get a glimpse of his past with another organization this year or next?
Yeah. Anyway, to me, it would have been a perfect fit for the Saints if the Saints knew, and I'm sure they did, about the Michael Thomas situation. I mean, I know they never, ever give Aaron Rodgers any more ammo in Green Bay, but, you know, you're telling me that, you know, he couldn't hook on with a really good quarterback, and maybe that would straighten him out for at least the end of this year?
I don't know. It's going to be intriguing over the next 5 or 6 months where Odell Beckham does, in fact, land. We're just getting started. Get you prepared for that game in Indy. Also, get you prepared for week number 9, Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
And notes surrounding the NFL. We'll jump it quickly into this battle in Indianapolis right now. Mike White looking for magic in a bottle 2 weeks in a row. They're 10.5-point dogs on the road against Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts. Lost that ball game in overtime to the Tennessee Titans. I can only look one way, Scott. 10.5 points with the New York Jets. I'm going to close my eyes, take the Jets in this ball game. Not a believer in Carson Wentz leading a double-digit victory over Mike White in this type of situation. Lean to the under. Don't feel strong about it either way, but think that Indianapolis will try to run the football on that Jets front seven.
All right, I'm going to go the other way, even though it is difficult, Joe, laying double digits on a Thursday. Short week, that's tough, right? That's really tough. And the Colts, in a lot of ways, kind of had their Super Bowl last week, and they blew it. But I don't know if the Jets' defensive line is going to give fits to Carson Wentz, you know, like San Fran did 2 weeks ago and, you know, like Tennessee was able to do a little bit last week. So, you know, I'm thinking that's going to make things life a little bit easier for Wentz. And again, laying double digits, but it's still the Jets. It's still a short week. That's difficult for any team. But now you basically have an inexperienced quarterback playing 2 games in 5 days. You know, now there's tape on him. Colts can do a little research, which always makes life a little bit easier for a club second time around. It's hard. Like I said, laying double digits. But if I had to, I would go with the Colts. Put it this way. I'd be more upset with myself if I'm sitting there holding 10.5 with the Jets and it's 33-3. And I'm like, what am I, an idiot? I'm betting on New York State. What am I, a dope, you know? Versus if I'm laying 10.5 with the Colts, at least I can yell and scream at the TV set and say, yeah, Wentz sucks. And, I can be more, aggravated, but understandably aggravated, if that makes any sense.
Taking the Jets is an uncomfortable bet. It really is, because you're you're down. You could be down 14-3, and then it could be blowout city from that point. You could lose this ball game 28-10 and never be in striking distance, and that's the one concern, is that does Mike White revert back to normalcy, right? Or does he just – is he the guy that just all of a sudden comes off the bench – like Willis Reed did back, 40, 50 years ago, and all of a sudden is like the best quarterback in New York for the Jets and Giants, respectively. It's amazing. I really am curious to see how he does perform in this ball game. You're taking the Colts. I'm taking the Jets in this matchup. I still can't wrap my head around this spread for Miami and Houston this weekend. This line was 7. When it came out Sunday with the offshore books, and now FanDuel had it at 7 for earlier in the week. It's down to 6.5, okay, at -106 on FanDuel. If you want to take a shot with Houston, it's -114. Total is set at 46, -114 to the over. If you're Miami, you should blow out this team. Why is their money coming in on Houston when they're in sell now mode? Even though I'm not a buyer of Tua, they shouldn't be laying 7, but they should blow them out of the water at home in South Beach.
They are 1-7, so they should. But I should have a happy home. But do I? We all should have a happy home. Right? I mean, 1-7 is 1-7. I'm looking the other. Why are they that big of a favorite at 1-7? I mean, their season. The only thing you can hope for if you're a Dolphin fan is that now that the trade deadline has passed, things calm down a little bit. But that's the NFL has a sense of humor, Joe. They really do. They're a sly sense of humor league, and that it's no accident the Dolphins are playing the Texans the first day after the trade deadline. They knew, when people were talking about this deal maybe getting done last year and all off season. So they knew for sure, let's stick these two teams to play each other after the trade deadline. You got four or five games of Super Bowl rematches this week. I do think they don't do this stuff by accident. So it is curious to see that they're playing, but I don't know. Can you lay 7 points with a Dolphin team? Yeah, they should blow them out, but I don't know. I can see Davis Mills going down there. I can see a dejected team. The Dolphins might not be that good, even though they did win 10 games last year. I can't lay seven points with Miami, 6.5.
It's really tough. If you're forcing me to pick this game, under 7, I would lean to Miami. I don't love it, but I would lean to the Dolphins, especially the fact that it is in Miami. Maybe the weather is a factor in the fourth quarter. We've seen the Houston Texans step up. They're a better home team in the dome than they are potentially on the road. Played New England tough, played the Rams tough, got involved and were able to cover that depending upon when you bet it last week against Matt Stafford. Total scares me, though, because I don't know what you're going to get. Again, I lean to the under here. I know Miami broke out against Atlanta, but I have no confidence in the consistency of Houston in this ball game. No confidence in Davis Mills to break out and challenge that secondary for Miami. This is a gutty call, but I would lean Miami and under again. I mean, this could be, we start the week with two straight unders back to back with the Jets, Colts, and Houston, Miami here in this matchup.
Yeah, the Dolphins showed you a little something, right? Last week, the defense, 3-3, third quarter. So maybe the defense is coming back to what it was last year. Yeah, 46 points does seem like an awful lot, right? I mean, that's assuming both teams are going to score. So, and I don't know. I could see either one of these teams laying an egg offensively, and more than likely Houston. But, I could see this one being 30-10, 33-7, 23-10, I don't see a shootout between – I don't see a 27-20 game between these two teams.
Yeah, when you look at week number 9, I mean, just really type of week, mediocre in terms of marquee matchups. I mean, the best matchup of the weekend was supposed to be Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes. We know how that's going to shape up with Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers out for COVID. But, I mean, I guess at the start of the week, you're like, maybe Denver catching 10 points at the start of the week. Does Dak come back? Is it Cooper Rush? This line was 10 for much of the early portion of the week. Now it's ticked under that 10-point number, 9.5 on FanDuel, minus 110 either way. It's juiced to the under, the 49.5 at minus 114. I got to be honest with you, this is a game I would lean to the over here, 49.5, and I like Denver on the road. I know Dallas stepped up against Minnesota, but I like Teddy Bridgewater in this spot. Even though Vic Fangio's the coach, I'm going to forget about that. Take the Broncos plus the 9.5 as the road team in this ballgame. And you know what? I think they could potentially strike the upset plus 330 on the road.
Now, is Dak going to play? Do we know if he's playing or not? Or he probably might, could be.
I mean,
listed as questionable,
It looks like he might play. I mean, I've heard people come out and say they should rest him. But 10, there's no way Dallas is laying 10 with Cooper Rush. I would doubt that, right? With Teddy, I mean, I'll double check it, but I'm assuming that Dak's going to play, and I'm basing the cap off of that. So at the very least, if Dak doesn't play, I still feel even more confident going up against Cooper Rush with a solid front seven in Denver on the road.
And how great were the boys in Vegas last week, right? We called it. You know, when they moved that line to 2.5 in favor of Minnesota, you knew that Dak was not playing. Even though the Cowboys had listed him as questionable, there was always the possibility. The boys in Vegas don't make a mistake like that, switching that thing 5 points. I'm surprised, Joe, that this is a 1 o'clock game, to tell you the truth, against Denver. It's only 3-4 o'clock games this week. So, goofy little thing. You would think they would have moved one more game to 4 o'clock, and considering they're playing Denver, Mountain Time Zone team, and Dallas, they'd love to have Dallas at 4 o'clock, right? I'm surprised. Like the second straight week where really the 1 o'clock games to me are better, whether it's Denver-Dallas, whether it's Minnesota-Baltimore, whether it's Cleveland-Cincinnati. You got some halfway decent games. Even New England-Carolina is not too bad. I understand. Instead, they put the Chargers and Eagles at 4 o'clock on a Sunday, not Dallas, Denver. I'm shocked at that. I'm really surprised at that.
Even Las Vegas and the Giants, right, with the New York media market.
Right.
Right. So that is a little interesting in terms of how they set up the schedule. Less opportunity at 4 o'clock. You better nail it at 1. Otherwise, you can have the gun to your head and backs to the wall in terms of having to bail yourself out in terms of the 4 o'clock action. So we'll see how it plays out. But we will get you prepared. Come back and talk about New England and Carolina and up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Really good slate of NFL action week number 9. I'm going through the weekly specials right here on FanDuel, Scott. We talked about all of the early games and one of the games in Carolina. New England, 3.5-point favorites to face off against Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers. Carolina with a gutty win 19-10 over Atlanta as a 3.5-point dog on Sunday. Now we're 3.5-point underdogs at home against a red-hot New England team. This on FanDuel, okay, happens to be the lowest scoring game on the board. That's the favorite. Plus 550 with a total set of 41. And I got to be honest with you, whether Sam Darnold plays or not, and it's P.J. Walker, I still think this game soars through the total here. 41. I mean, if they go in Carolina and look to run the football, whether McCaffrey plays or not, that's not the recipe to win this ball game against New England. That's going to go right into their strength. I think you need to open it up, be aggressive. You can't fall behind playing at home. Try to get Mac Jones into a shootout and see what happens.
Yeah, that's not bad. And I like your thinking from yesterday, too, with the Patriots, you know, flying all the way out to L.A., then flying back to New England, and then flying down to Carolina. You know, a lot of times on these two-game road trips, if the two cities are somewhat close, they'll just fly right to that second city where I don't think New England did that. So that's a difficult little test for a team, you know, with a rookie quarterback. So this might be a little bit, you know, you want to, if it's a competitive game, then I think it will be low scoring, and I can see it being, you know, 17-13, something like that. But if it's a little bit of a blowout, you know, then I can see that going over the 41. It's tough for an NFL game to not go over 41 points. It really is.
Yeah, now they have the highest scoring game on the board as Tennessee and Los Angeles, plus 450. That's the highest scoring game on the board this weekend, followed by the Chargers and Eagles at plus 600, Vikings and Ravens, I actually like that, at plus 700, Denver Cowboys, not bad, Buffalo Jaguars at plus 850. See, I don't know what you're going to get out of Jacksonville in that game, right? I thought they would come out of the bye week, coming off a win, playing Seattle and Geno Smith. You're thinking at least 14 points on the road. They barely scored for about 50 minutes in that ballgame, get a garbage touchdown in the fourth quarter. Urban Meyer's terrible. I mean, you thought the extra few days of preparation? Ooh. I mean, come on. You get your first win over Miami. You got to come out. He was going for it on fourth down. Trevor Lawrence, like in the mid-third quarter, had 95 passing yards against a suspect defense in Seattle.
Yeah, and I told you what he did. You know, we talked about it yesterday, about him, you know, not going for two with 2 minutes left after you just scored. I mean, you know, why not? What's the difference? You cut it to a two-score game. You've seen crazy things happen. He just looks, you know, I said this before about coaches. You know, you got to have that look, Joe. He doesn't have that look. He's got that disinterested slash clueless look. It's just, boy, it's night and day. You go from college where you literally are really coaching about, even at Ohio State where you do have some rivalries, you're coaching about three games a year. You know, you're not coaching versus Northwestern or Indiana or Minnesota. You know, you and I could coach Ohio State to victories. You know, you got to coach against Michigan State. You got to coach against Michigan, maybe Iowa, Penn State, you know, depending on their schedule. That's it. It's 2-3 games a year. These college coaches look lost on the sidelines. And Urban, he's got that just blank stare look. So I don't have any faith in them putting up any points even at home against Buffalo. I think the one that could be sneaky high, you know, might be, how about Atlanta and New Orleans? You know, you know, rivalry. I know you're going to get the backup quarterback there for the Saints, but, you know, 18-1, second highest choice. Maybe Matty Ice, you know, goes back to, you know, passing well, and they put some points on the board. Maybe it turns into a little bit of a blowout. I could see that one. You know, it's the second highest choice. That's actually not too bad, I think.
You know which one I'm actually leaning to, and it sounds like bizarre, but how about the Raiders and Giants at 11-1?
It's not bad.
Raiders, and you know the Raiders are going to throw the football. I mean, that's what Carr has done over the last three games since Gruden's gone. I mean, he's thrown for over 300 now. He's in a rhythm. Granted, Ruggs isn't there. I get that. And Barkley now, I don't know if you saw, tested positive for COVID. So we brought up the situation about how 13 people within the organization, a few players. Well, now Saquon Barkley's one of those players. So we have to see how this progresses over the next couple of days heading into game time, because obviously if there is more players that are on the COVID list, that can mean potentially that this you're playing second and third teamers in this ball game, and that can lead to points, that can lead to turnovers, that can lead to inconsistency, maybe offensively, defensively, and now you're looking at big chunk plays for the Derek Carr offense and the Raiders in this ball game.
Yeah. And they came back east last year, and so they're familiar with the situation, you know, dealing with that type of thing, that crazy loss they had to the Jets on the last second thing. So that's not bad. You know, the Giants can't run the ball, so you know they're going to be throwing. And as long as the Raiders come to play, and I think they will, you know, it looks like, you know, Derek Carr's feeling bad for you know, his guy. So maybe that'll inspire him a little bit. That's not bad, 11-1. I wish these were a little bit higher. I mean, I know you only have so many games, so they're not going to give you like 20-30-1, but, you know, I would have liked the, you know, Falcons Saints or Little Flyer to be more than 18-1, or even Raiders Giants, you know, 11-1. It'd be hard not for the Chargers and Eagles, but maybe the Eagles defense, you know, picks up where it left off last week.
I can't take that game because even though the Eagles put up 44 points, that was against Detroit. And the last time they played a West Coast team, well, they lost 33-22 to the Raiders. I don't count that. But when San Francisco came to town, they lost that ballgame 17-11. And we've seen the Chargers struggle now. Do they get back to their identity in terms of, all right, let's just get out of Dodge with a W. Let's make sure that we don't turn the football over like we did against the Patriots. Let's look to establish the line of scrimmage offensively and defensively, control the time of possession, and get out of Dodge with a 7-point win. And we win this ball game, let's say 24-17. We're happy with that type of breakdown and that type of victory on the road because it is an early kick.
Yeah. You know, I will say, historically, Bungles and Browns play high-scoring games.
I know that. I know. The only problem is that what are we going to get out of the Browns? Joe Burrow put up 31 last week in a loss. They've been on fire offensively, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing. Now they're going up against a really good defensive front. Do they contain them? Because Cleveland right now, I mean, their offensive identity's gone. You thought it would be back against the Steelers, maybe, with that suspect front seven, the way Seattle was able to run the football. Nick Chubb couldn't get going last week. Couldn't get going. I mean, all right, put it this way. If I had a pick right here, if you're forcing me to pick a game, I'm going to go with the Giants at 11-1. And a backup, I would go Denver and Cowboys at 7-1. Those are my two best for the highest scoring game.
All right, last year, Bungles and Browns, 35-30 and 37-34.
It's hard to ignore.
I'm going to go Browns and Bengals, and then I'll take a little flyer on Falcons Saints.
Now, lowest scoring, Scotty, lowest scoring, I'll tell you this right now. I feel confident about this. Lowest scoring, I think, for me, is going to be Green Bay and Kansas City at 10-1.
Wow. Really?
Yep.
Have you seen because Kansas City play defense?
I have. And I think that, obviously, the perception is, you know, that Kansas City's defense is suspect, but they contain the Giants. You got Jordan Love. And I think that everybody's just thinking that Pat Mahomes is just going to throw all over that Green Bay Packers defense, and I think they're going to run it this weekend. You know, Derek Gore has an intricate part. Darrell Williams has an intricate part. They're going to look for more offensive balance to sustain, you know, drives to take the pressure off of Mahomes. He's under pressure every week now.
Yeah.
Every week. So I think it's contrarian a little bit because I still think people are buying into Love to put up a world of points on the road here. I just don't see it in this ballgame.
All right. I'm going to go Texans and Dolphins. I don't see that being 46. I think that's a high number. Dolphin offense has been off for the last 2 weeks. Texans is you know, the Texans, you know, outside of 5.5 minutes of play against the Rams, they were getting shut out at home. Well, you're talking about a backdoor cover. Oh, 38-0, and you can't cover the spread. Yikes. But I could just see with the distraction to Deshaun Watson, if Tua had any fight in him, I could see him throwing for 4 touchdowns, but I don't think he does. The Dolphin defense, like I said earlier, played pretty well last week against Buffalo. Maybe they're kind of turning the corner a little bit because they were really good last year. 8-1, fourth choice on the board, two bad football teams. There's going to be nobody in that stadium. There's going to be no excitement, no drive, no way. Yeah, I could see that being like 13-10 Dolphins
all right.
and Texans.
All right, so the Grand Salami. Of all the total points this year. I know you love the Grand Salami. You love it in baseball.
It always comes under. I had 43 stinking points. It's only needed 43 last week heading into the Sunday night game with Dallas and Minnesota. I was going to hedge, and then Minnesota scores right away, right? First possession, second possession, 7-0. I'm like, all right, we're going to get 43 points. Yeah, not even close.
566 and a hook. For week number 9 at -110. 566 and a hook. Think about that. Digest it, okay? Let it just sit there for a couple of minutes. And when we come back, obviously we'll be breaking it down. The Grand Salami will also dive into some other Week 9 games like Arizona and San Francisco. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Continuing the conversation and getting everyone prepared for this coming weekend, NFL action, week number 9. We've been going through the weekly specials, talking about some of the higher scoring games, lower scoring games. Scott and I are on different sides of the fence in terms of what we like this coming weekend. We'll also talk about potentially some best bets tomorrow and obviously prop bets as well, so tune in. But I talked about highest scoring team, Scott, for this coming week number 9 is the Buffalo Bills going up against the Jaguars. So the books have no confidence in terms of Jacksonville stopping Josh Allen, even though they are on the road 14.5-point favorites. They put up 26 against the Fish. They're expecting a bigger breakout this coming weekend in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and I do like, you know, listen, it's tough laying 2 touchdowns plus on the road, but I think Buffalo's going to come out, you know, flying this week. They struggled at home, you know, only put 3 points on the board in the third period before they finally, you know, kind of pulled away late. Kind of a carbon copy of their first game against the Dolphins. Same thing, they scored a couple touchdowns late. But otherwise, that was a struggle for them. I don't think they're going to struggle 2 weeks in a row. I think that's going to get them that much more focused for this week. And again, hard laying 14.5 points, but I think we're going to get the A effort out of the Buffalo Bills. And so I do think the under is going to come in just because I don't think Jacksonville is going to score. But you got to figure Buffalo's good for 30 points this week.
Yeah, we'll see. That's why they play the games. I'd be shocked if Jacksonville steps up and makes it a game. Shocked.
Yeah.
But you never know. They're catching
lost.
2 touchdowns. They do look lost, which means they'll probably cover this week against the Bills, right?
Yeah.
You thought they had a shot against Seattle and Geno Smith coming out of a bye week? Dead to the water. You never had a shot. You're down 17-0 at half. They'll probably step up. They might be leading at halftime, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. I do want to talk about a couple other weekly specials. Most rushing yards for week 9, Sunday only. You want to take a guess on who leads? In terms of, obviously, all NFL rushers this week, he's a 6-1 shot to bring it home.
I would say Nick Chubb.
Mm. Very good. Nick Chubb in the Cincinnati Bengals defense. Now, I thought Chubb would break out last week, but 6-1 isn't bad. If you're gonna tell me Nick Chubb going up on the road against Cincinnati in that matchup, maybe Cincinnati's defense starting to give way after blowing the fourth quarter lead of Mike White and the New York Jets. Maybe now all of a sudden they fall apart and Zach Taylor reverts back to form as a terrible coach.
Yeah, you know, and I figured without Odell playing, you know, maybe they're trying to just turn the page a little bit more on that and make it more of a running team. I kind of end the high scoring games that I told you about before between those two. So I kind of thought it would be Chubb without honestly looking. So that's actually pretty good. Kudos to me. Your story. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's all you bring is value. That's all you bring.
That's it. Yeah. Now, you may not do it, but it makes it. See, but at least with this, you know, you're kind of getting value, you know, at 6-1. Because they're really, Joe, there only are a handful of guys that are capable of putting 100-plus points on the board. And if you're going to eliminate Derrick Henry, like we're obviously doing, you know, unlike with the, you know, the game where I didn't think we were getting value, I think with the highest running back, you actually are, even though the numbers might be a little bit lower. But, you know, who else is going to run? You know, the goal is like 100-plus yards, right, 120 yards or so. Who else in the NFL is getting that many carries? I mean, it's a two-carry, you know, backfield in every NFL team. Chubb's the lone one. You know, so him, even they split time with Dalvin Cook now, even more so with Madison. Zeke's not getting the carries like he used to. Maybe Kamara would be one, but
I was just
going to
say that. That was the guy, 13-1, Alvin Kamara going up against the Saints. They got beat up physically, offensive, defensive line by Carolina. Emotionally drained after that ball game. They didn't score after halftime. They had a 10-9 halftime lead. They got shut out in the second half. You know, without Ridley in that offense, they become one-dimensional, maybe three and outs, and all of a sudden now you're talking a short field for New Orleans, and that means multiple carries for Kamara. So that's why I like him at 13-1. I'm going to go
about Aaron Jones. How about Aaron Jones? The Packers, if they don't throw the ball with
the only problem is do they split some carries with A.J. Dillon in that role?
Right. Have been doing that lately. They've been more.
How about this guy? How about Josh Jacobs at 27-1?
If he's back fully healthy?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
I mean, they have him at 27-1 going up against the Giants, which I like that because if we talked about an early kick and Las Vegas on the road, they have the better offensive line. Giants they definitely overperformed Monday night. Short week for the Giants.
Yes.
Now you have a physical offensive line, right? All right, Kenyon Drake's there. But you know they're going to ground and pound to some capacity. He's worth 27-1. I mean, put it this way. There's injury concerns about Josh Jacobs, and they're talking about Christian McCaffrey coming off IR. If I had to tell you, pick, obviously, out of the two, which one you're taking, a 27-1 or 29-1, respectively, you're taking Jacobs or you're taking McCaffrey? Because there's no guarantee McCaffrey's going to come out of IR and all of a sudden have 30 carries.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't go with him. I don't think they run him enough. They throw him enough. Where first game back, they would really double down. You know, the Jacobs thing makes sense as long as he's healthy. I'd say Lamar Jackson, but you know, Joe, they haven't really run him that much like they used to. Not a lot, but I see it being scaled back a little bit. Where in previous years, you know, they would go Lamar Jackson left, Lamar Jackson right all the time. I mean, just absolute dead set. It's Lamar running the football. And while they still do that once in a while, not nearly as much. He's only run for 100 yards once this year. And that's in week number two in a crazy game against Kansas City. Other than that, you know, they're modest numbers. 58, 28, 62, 51, 88, you know, 2 weeks ago in that blowout loss to Cincinnati. So, you know, in the wins, which is really the indicative thing, 50 yards is what he's getting. But, you know, maybe against Minnesota, maybe they go back to, you know, a week off after coming off a bye, they go back to what made us famous, and that's Lamar Jackson. You want to throw a flyer at 29-1.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at that. Obviously, what are you going to get defensively out of Minnesota, right? You lost that ball game by Cooper Rush in the last minute. Are they coming out dejected or are they coming out emotional on the road? I like Minnesota. I told you they're one of the teams I will be backing this weekend. But in asking them to contain Lamar Jackson, as we know, is a different animal. At 29-1, it's worth a shot. I'm going to go, how about these two long shots? You got Adrian Peterson at 33-1. We talked about it. What are you going to get? Are they going to implement him in that offense with Tennessee? And Miles Gaskin at 33-1.
Ooh.
Now, Houston's offense, Houston's defensive front is terrible. Terrible.
Right.
They got abused last week. They go down to South Beach. You know, do you think Brian Flores wants to get out and just say, all right, Tua, let's just open it up? No, he's going to probably want to run the football to some capacity. Can they wear them down enough where Gaskin gets 150 yards on the afternoon or over 100?
Maybe.
For 33-1? For 33-1?
Yeah. Yeah. I like Gaskin better than I do Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson's not getting it. I'll give you the chalk with Chubb. I like Aaron Jones at 19-1. And then I'll take Josh Jacobs at 27-1.
I will go Kamara at 13-1 going up against the Falcons. And because you took Jacobs, I'll go on a flyer with Gaskin at 33-1 just because it's Houston. And they're coming, obviously, they're a better home team than they are on the road. Maybe the humidity, maybe the heat to some capacity gets them in the second half. Maybe Miami playing with a lead for much of the second half, hopefully, right? If we turn on this game and all of a sudden Miami's down at the half, you know, it all goes out the window. And then Brian Flores probably is looking for a job next week. You lose to the Houston Texans when they're in sell mode. Goodness. So,
could you imagine that?
If you would have told me, Scott, that Miami would be as bad record-wise as where they're at, and to have the New York Jets and then have Mike White lead them, and they have two wins and Miami has one, I wouldn't have believed it at this point. You know, I knew it was a tough schedule, but you should still eke out three or four wins if you're the Miami Dolphins. I mean, you have a quarterback now that's supposed to be the savior, second year. You got to step up at this point. So we'll see. I mean, leading receiver, too, I know you like this. Cooper Kupp, everybody's favorite. You know, Cooper, everybody loves Cooper Kupp. The guy's
they
phenomenal.
Throw to him every single play, though. I mean, it is amazing. It's like every big play, it's Cooper Kupp. It's like, wow.
It's like you can never take a Robert Woods prop. Because Cooper Kupp is always taking receptions away, 9, 10, 11 receptions. Robert Woods starts fast. He gets like two receptions, 35 yards, and then you're like, can you go back? Stafford, can you go back to Robert? Can you go? No, he's throwing everybody else outside of Robert Woods. It's amazing. How about Deebo Samuel? 16-1. Had 100 yards receiving 2 weeks ago against the Indianapolis Colts, had a productive day against the Bears, going up against the Arizona Cardinal defense. 16-1, worth a shot for Deebo.
That's not bad. I like Tyreek Hill this week at 14-1. I think, you know, I know it's not Aaron Rodgers, so a little bit of luster was taken off that game. But I think if you're Kansas City and you're Mahomes, you struggled against the Giants, you got to redeem yourself here a little bit. It's still a monster game. You haven't gotten a whole heck of a lot from Kelce this year. It's really been Tyreek's show. So I think he's going to get a lot of carries. And Packers don't have that shutdown defensive back that they can stop him. So, right away, I say 14-1 with Tyreek Hill. You got yourself a fighting chance.
All right, I'm going to go two guys. One guy was non-existent last week against Dallas, Justin Jefferson at 18-1. You need to get him involved in terms of the offense. Not bubble screens either. You have to throw the ball vertically if you're Kirk Cousins. I know you have Dalvin Cook, so I like Justin Jefferson at 18-1. And how about this long shot? Mike Williams, 26-1, going up against the Eagles.
Not bad. Not bad. That Eagles secondary, heading into last week's game, they gave up the highest completion percentage. Nearly 75% of the passes were completed against the Eagles, which makes what the Lions did, which is nothing, that much more amazing that they could move the football. All right, my secondary choice, how about Julio Jones at 37-1? No Derrick Henry. Should be into a high-scoring game against the L.A. Rams. I don't know who they're going to perceive as the number one guy, you know, with their shutdown guy. You know, so would they put Ramsey on Brown or Jones? I'm hoping they put him on Brown, and that would leave Jones a little bit more leeway. 37-1. I like that.
You like that one, huh?
Tyreek, yeah. I think Hill at 14 and Jones at 37-1.
All right, we'll see. I mean, Darren Waller's interesting, 27-1 going up against the Giants as well.
Injured, so I don't know if he's going to play. Hopefully he does.
Hopefully. He's listed as questionable. I mean, if he does play, I mean, the only reason why is you look for the short week. I don't look for a duplication out of the Giants defense going what they did against Pat Mahomes. Now with the short week going up against the Las Vegas Raiders, even though they're catching 3.5 at home, we know about the COVID situation. How does that affect the depth of that secondary as well? So we'll see how that game plays out. When Scott and I come back, we'll get Scott's best bets for this coming Sunday. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Wrapping up today's show, before we get into Scott and Mai's best bets for the weekend, breaking news out of Houston, Tyrod Taylor will get the start for the Texans. He missed 6 weeks due to a hamstring injury. Line already moved and affected 1 point in favor of the Texans. Miami now 5.5-point favorites on FanDuel, minus 115. You want to take a shot on the Texans, they're minus 105. Let's jump right into it. I'll give you three dogs that I really like. Denver, +9.5 on FanDuel. Minnesota, +6. And I like Carolina. If I had a pick in terms of money line, I like the Vikings +210 and Carolina +160 at home. I think they both get the upset, one on the road and one at home this coming weekend.
All right, I'll give you one for tonight. I'm going to stay away from the Colts and Jets as far as the game. That prop, though, I like over 244.5 passing yards. It was 240 last night. Now it's up to 244.5 Carson Wentz. I think they're going to go into that game throwing a little bit, so give me over that prop. Love the best under bet, under 49.5 Denver and Dallas. I don't know why they keep on posting these Denver lines so high. They're nothing but an under team. 45 last week for Washington. Denver was crazy. I think this is going to be low-scoring game. I'm going to hop on the Raiders bandwagon. I think they're going to use what happened this past week. Sad story, but they're going to use that as a source of, like, you know what, we got to get our lives straightened out, and what better team to do it against than the pathetic Giants. And I also like the Chargers, Joe, laying the 2 against Philadelphia. I think I'm going to go with 2 West Coast teams traveling East Coast. I think they're much better than what they're playing. The Eagles, throw out what happened last week against Detroit. The Lions just suck. And the Chargers are better than what they showed as well. So Raiders, Chargers, unders, Denver, Dallas, and then the over on the prop passing yards for Wentz tonight.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of points in the Giants game. So I lean to the over of 46.5 at minus 112. Scotty, I love you. You know, if you want to hear this back and forth banter, you can tune in every Saturday, College Football Today. We're there 9 to 12, and we keep you 12 to 2 with in-game. For Scott Wetzel, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone. Enjoy the games.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.